You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Going to start in Hebrews chapter 9, just one verse, and then we're going to move to Romans chapter 2 as I share with you today. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. Verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, means there's no repentance, no sorrow, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up thyself unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Verse 8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Amen. What I have to share with you today, I had intended on sharing a message called A Thief in a Night. In fact, I've got almost the second week of that done, and I just really had a strong sense of the Lord to pull me over to this particular message. But what I have to share with you today might bring you relief, or it might serve to strike you like a lightning bolt with some anxiety about the state of your soul as a Christian. How you choose to live from the day that you were born again, and especially from this message having been exhorted, certain things, how you choose to live now has a direct bearing on the outcome of your appointment with the eternal judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. This message is called the blood, the cross, and the judgment seat. The blood, the cross, and the judgment seat. There are two great judgments spoken of in the King James Version Holy Bible. The judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. Each man and woman that has ever lived will stand before God at just one of these judgments. If you stand before Jesus Christ at the believer's judgment, you will not stand to be judged at the great white throne, and vice versa. If you didn't attend the judgment seat of Christ, you will attend the great white throne. But a single person doesn't attend both of them, as you'll come to know today if you do not already. You do not want to find yourself at the great white throne as a defendant, because there will be no defense. No defense. Let me review for you. Revelation chapter 20 and in verse 11. Now this is at the end of the book and near the end of the book of Revelation. Near the end of the book of God, the Holy Bible, and the last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I, this is John, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever... That reminds me of John 3:16. Whosoever will. We're going to read that in just a minute. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is the great white throne judgment. You do not want to be found there. I cannot imagine. Just like I cannot imagine or comprehend how great and powerful Almighty God is in His eternalness, in His grace, in His love, in His power. I can't comprehend that. I cannot comprehend the terror of somebody standing before the great white throne. I just can't comprehend it. And for what little I can, I have chills to think that I too could have been there. Now, in contrast to the great white throne judgment, I turn your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, he's talking about our physical human body, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, died, came to its end, we have a building of God, an eternal body. We have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Many believe that being found naked is not so much the way we think of it in natural terms, as much as in this particular context, being found naked is not having your body yet. You see, those that have died and gone ahead of us as the believers, as the saints of God, they are in certain degree, they are naked. They have not their glorified body yet, so they are spirit and soul, but no body, so they're naked in that respect. That's what Paul here is referring to. If so be being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Verse 5. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. You don't have all of the Spirit that you can have or will have. The earnest means the down payment, a pledge. Just to let you know, he's real, and here's enough of him to be your comforter, to be your counselor, to be your teacher, to be your corrector. We don't have all of the Spirit that we're going to enjoy one day. Verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Amen. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. In part, I ask you today, are you laboring with that in mind, to be accepted when you stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ? And I'm not talking about works for work's sake. I'm talking about you're laboring, you're growing in grace and in the knowledge of God and the experience of God by your love for Him, and out of obedience you're busy about good things. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. He's talking about believers. That everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You mean there's going to be people stand before Jesus that are going to have some trouble and some really difficult, painful moments? Yes. Absolutely, yes. Whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. And then we'll throw in Romans chapter 14, verse 10. No charge for that today. Something more for you to think about as we talk about the blood, the cross, and the judgment seat. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. That is at the judgment seat of Christ. That is an accounting of your life. I hope that by the end of this message, and as you ponder it and chew on it this week, you'll come to understand what I'm hoping to impart to you about the blood, the cross, as it relates to the judgment seat. The saints of God, if you are born again, if you have the Spirit of God living within you, you are a saint of God. The saints of God have a date before the Son of God. As the Scriptures indicate, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I've taught you over the years that I believe this one question will be chief and primary in the Lord's evaluation of your life. What did you do with the life that I gave you? Show me. Tell me about it, if you can. What did you do with the life that I gave you will be the main question to each believer at that meeting, in some form or fashion. It is at that face-to-face meeting before the great judge Yeshua himself that, as the review of each life concludes, imagine, if you will, a motion picture on full cinema screen of your whole life. Not only what you've done and not done and where you've been and who you've done it with and been with, but what you've thought, what you've said, what you've pondered, what you've fantasized about, what you've considered. Imagine, it's all there in Technicolor. And it is at that face-to-face meeting before the great Judge Yeshua that, as a review of each life concludes, everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That comes at the end of that examination of your life. What did you do with the life that I gave you? The saints do not appear before God at the great white throne, nor will unbelievers stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. You go to one place or the other. The appointment in one place or the other is directly connected to whether one dies once or has a second death to face. Because of an absence of faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ before you died. Let me read to you again out of God's Word. Revelation 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. We are joint heirs with Christ. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But, verse 8, but the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part. Their place, their assignment in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There is only one only begotten Son. Unlike many other cults teach, Jesus was the brother of Lucifer. This and that and the other thing. There's only one begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. As I said, each cult, that's an offshoot that's taken something out of Christianity and gone off and formed something new and different that is another gospel. And Paul said there are no other gospels to get you into heaven. There are no other gospels. But what's amazed me is these other cults all have their own Jesus. The Jehovah's Witnesses have their own Jesus. But he's not our Jesus. He's not Jesus, the Jesus of the King James Version Holy Bible. The Mormons, the Church of the Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, they have their Jesus. In fact, they call him the Mormon Jesus to differentiate him from the Christian Jesus. In some of the things that we've reviewed and listened to regarding that particular cult, they call him, when they speak of him, the Mormon Jesus. That should tell you something. That is not the same Jesus as the Jesus that walked the earth 2,000 years ago, preached the Word of God, was himself called, is himself called the Word of God, died on a cross for all the world, for all souls, and was raised from the dead by God, and now sits at the right hand of the Father until that soon day when he comes back and takes us home. Make sure that you believe in the right Jesus, because the wrong Jesus will take you to hell. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him not, on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Sentence is already passed. Sentence is passed on all souls. It's already done that do not accept Jesus or will not accept Jesus. Sentence is already passed on all of creation. You just heard just minutes ago that at some point the heaven and the earth will flee away by the holy presence of God because of its touch of sin. Everything is condemned except that soul that has accepted Jesus Christ, the man from Nazareth, that died in AD 30 on a Roman cross. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. John chapter 12, verse 44. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that believeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me, the me of the King James Version Holy Bible, the me that is not associated with any of these other sects, or even the New Age religion of today. They all have their own Jesus too. That is not the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, that came, was born of a virgin, lived a perfect sinless life, and died on the cross, and later was raised to the dead by God our Father. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him, that same word, shall judge him in the last day. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. I'm so thankful that John was called to be a disciple at such a young age so that he could live to be so old. Most believe he wrote the Gospel and the three Johns and the Revelation between 85 and 95 A.D. By this time, John was quite an elderly man, but he'd outlived all the others. But why I'm so grateful that John lived this long and was able to write what he did toward the end of his life and toward the end of the first century was because he had a chance to see how things were going in the church. He had a chance to see firsthand. Even, I believe it's 3 John, he finds that one of the brothers in one of the churches wouldn't even let John entertain the thought of coming and visiting that church. He was this, I think his name was Dionysius, I think. But he was throwing brothers that loved God out of the church because they wouldn't do things his way. He had a real ego trip, a real issue with pride, to not even be willing to accept John, the aged apostle, also an elder in the church, to their meetings. But John had lived long enough to see what was happening in the church. And two things he saw a lot of, and that's what he wrote about. If you look closely at his writings, he saw sin coming into the church. And he taught us over and over again, you need to stop sinning. That's the way of God if you're a believer. If you're really a believer, you need to stop sinning. And the second thing that John taught us that he saw slipping away, it's reflected in Revelation chapter 2 when Jesus speaks through John to the church at Ephesus, is they had walked away from their first love. John teaches us we must love. We got to get love right. As we shared just a few weeks ago, forget not to love. John had a real passion for sharing with the believers and you and us even today. We got to get love right and we got to get away from our sin. We got to. We simply must. 1 John chapter 5, in verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Can you imagine standing before God at the great white throne judgment and realizing that you have called God a liar by saying His word was not true, by saying what Jesus did made no difference? They call God a liar, and then they stand before God, and as a liar, are thrown into the lake of fire. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Pretty clear. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And again, Revelation 20 in verse 12, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You and I are not promised tomorrow. We're not even guaranteed we'll be alive in 15 minutes. Years ago, I remember Brother Elkins talking to me about the strongest man in the world. And he was amazed, Brother Elkins was. Apparently, and I don't know all the details, I just remember the gist of the discussion. Apparently there was a man who, whether in by Olympic standards or by some other great measuring way here on this planet, one particular man was judged at the time the strongest man in the world, physically. Now, you've all seen these men on the Olympics where they're weightlifting and they lift enough weight that, you know, you just don't know how it's even humanly possible. I suppose that's what it was likened to. But this particular man was ascribed all the glory due to he who was calculated to be the strongest living human man in the world. And yet something came up in his life not long after that, and in 7 minutes he was dead. I don't know the story. I don't know if it was an auto accident or a heart attack or whatever. But the strongest man in the world could do nothing to stop his appearing before the judge of the universe when that time was up. The strongest man in the world died in 7 minutes. That's a true story. So I say again, you're not promised tomorrow. You're not even guaranteed, even as a believer, that you'll be alive in 15 minutes from now. That's how quickly things can change. If you've not given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, do not wait. Because until you give your life to Him, you are automatically on the schedule, you're on the roster to stand at the great white throne. And for you, then, that's too late. So if you're pretending to be a Christian, or if you just show up because it's expected of you, but you're really not, consider this maybe one last opportunity to give your life to Jesus. If you don't, you're automatically on schedule to stand before the great white throne, which dismisses each pitiful defendant to the everlasting, that means forever and ever, life, lake of fire. If you are still lost in your sins right now, or as once a believer you have grown spiritually cold, and by doing so your back is to Almighty God, repent here, today, before you leave this place. And by doing so, and living your remaining days as His servant, your name will be crossed out of that appointment book and placed in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's where you want your name, dear ones. That's where you want your name. At the point of your death, wherever you spiritually stand in the sight of God, it's forever sealed at the point of your death as either saved or eternally lost. There will be no second chances, despite what a very tiny and misinformed group of Christians say about such second chances. Yes, there are minority Christian groups here and there that believe that at some point there, after death, there is a second chance. We don't believe that. And you're really living dangerously if you think you can live like you want to and hope that there'll be, expect that there is a second chance before the lake of fire. That is one of the greatest and stupidest gambles a human being could ever make. You may hold out some slim hope of that for a dead loved one if it helps you to cope in this life, but you dare not reject the Lord Jesus' offer of righteousness, of forgiveness and eternal life on His terms as a gamble that you too will be offered one last second chance. We simply do not see that happening. But as to the believer's judgment before the Lord Jesus Christ, what of that meeting? That's where, as a Christian, between now and then, you need to always stay mindful of the title of this very message and live your life by the truth and the power of these divine terms: the blood of Jesus, the cross of Christ, and the believer's judgment seat. Keep those in mind, and they will help you. You see, the blood of Jesus, as you know, washes away the sins of the truly repentant Christian. And it will do that time and time again for the sincere believer. You've heard that here over the years many times. We are not sinners that have been saved by grace, but we are sinners being saved by grace. Until we cross over into glory, or we are caught up alive into the clouds to meet Him, many of us will be in this room, we are still being saved and can trust confidently, if we are devoted disciples, that is, that what He began in us, He is able to finish. Amen. But when we sin, we must deal with that sin quickly and radically by facing the Lord Jesus and confessing it, ask for forgiveness, and be washed clean by the blood once again. Don't wait till later. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't let them add up till you think you got enough to go. Deal with it quickly and radically by turning, confessing it, asking for forgiveness, and being washed in the blood there and then. If you're in the middle of your sin, for God's sake, stop it and get away from it. But there is more to do for the devoted disciple. Till I tell you what that is, or remind you what that is in your case, I read you 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I want to reassure you, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Hold fast, Timothy. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Hebrews chapter 7 in verse 24 it says, but this man, because he continueth ever, that's the Lord Jesus, our great high priest, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is also able also to save them to the uttermost, right to the very end. He's able to save you right to the very end. Paul writes in Romans, neither this nor that, nor this nor that, nor this nor that can separate us from the love of God. And that's absolutely divine fact. But there's one thing he doesn't say that we who have served him have come to understand. There's only one thing that can separate you from Jesus, and that's you. The way you walk. I got to tell you, I've had such a burden all day since I rose this morning that things are changing in the Spirit. Maybe it has something to do with the day of Pentecost last week. But things are changing. They're changing in my heart. They're changing in my mood, in my attitude about how we look at the world and how we dabble in the world and how we play around with the world. And then we come to church and we sit here and we say yes and amen. And then we go back out and do those things all over again. The time for that is coming to an end, I tell you. Some people are so baptized in the world and professing Christians, it's only going to take one little short jerk by the world, and they're on the hook and being hauled into that boat that's going to take them to hell. Yes, believers, because of the way they've chosen to live, compromising with the world. Years ago, I wrote what turned out to be an essay, and I called it The Carnal Covered Christian. You've all heard of caramel-covered apples, right? Well, this was about a carnal-covered Christian. Someone that professes to be a Christian and may have some degree of faith in Jesus, but they're just so covered in the world you couldn't even tell. They don't look any different than anybody else that's not been saved. The days of living like that are coming to an end. I even urge you. That's why we had Brother Andrew read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 this morning, verses 23 to about 32. And we had him read Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. Choose this day who you will serve. And don't come before the cup and the bread if you're still entertaining sin and you know that even though, oh Lord, I'm so sorry, wash me in the blood, you know tomorrow you're going to go back out and do those same dastardly things again. You better stop that, because the Word of God says there's coming a time when people will be sick and weak and die from such an error by taking the Lord's Supper and mocking God. You better come out of the world lock, stock, and barrel. Jesus said through the Holy Spirit in another place, judgment's coming upon the world, but before it comes upon the world, it comes upon the house of God. Judgment begins the house of God. That's you and I, dear ones. We've got to get it right. We've got to stop dabbling in the world. Whatever that means to you, you need to stop doing it. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. Those devoted disciples have nothing to worry about. Those messing around in the world, you should be worrying. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, I remind you, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I said, you get washed in the blood of Jesus, there is more to do. It's not being taught in the church today. Shame on the church leaders. In fact, I read an alleged prophecy, a word given to the church here not long ago, and through the mouth of this particular prophet, Jesus was condemning what's going on in the world today, especially in the United States of America, and Jesus lays the blame of what's going on in our country today at the feet of the church. We've let homosexuality take over. We've let abortion take over. The church has not stood up. And our country is where it is today, at the beginning of judgment. It's coming. It's begun. Because we have done nothing but tried to be politically correct. The church has stopped preaching the cross. Oh yeah, if you sin, there's the blood. I'm reminded that a preacher I heard not long ago, a minister here in our small town, said, I cannot not sin. I wanted to get up and say, blasphemy! That is such a lie that's been fed to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are to stop sinning, Christian. Go to the cross. That's the more to say. For the sinful nature, that is the origin of those sins. The Christian needs the work of the cross. Another message that has been preached here routinely, perhaps not enough. The blood washes away the sins, but it is the cross that puts to death the sinful nature within us that is the cause of our sinning again and again and again. The more we let the effectiveness of the cross, bring death to our carnal man, the less we will sin. More of the cross, less of the sinning. Less of the cross, you will sin more. That's just the way it works. And that is one of the goals of the precious indwelling Holy Spirit, to bring each of us to a place where the old man, our sinful nature, is dead and we are experientially free from sin. That word experientially means the Word says you're dead, the Word says you've been crucified with Christ, but until you let the Holy Spirit actually make that work, actually give you that experience in your life, you're not. You're a carnal creature. You need the cross. You need the literal, today, experience of the cross if you want to stop sinning. But again, you know all this too. What does this have to do with your appointment at the believer's judgment seat, you may ask? And I say, it has much in every way. Can't get my podium back up. Yeah, just stoop down, huh? It seems to me that there will be three ways to walk away from that meeting with Jesus Christ. For you and for me. One of three ways. Three ways to walk away from the judgment seat of Christ when that's over with for you. And believe me, dear ones, when it's over with, it's over with. Number one, you are saved, but empty-handed and full of shame and regret because of the way you lived on the earth. Somehow, you managed to keep enough faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in His shed blood that you managed to get saved in the end. That's the first way. You're saved, but you're empty-handed and full of shame and regret for a time. So I said, once it's over with, you're going to remember those things, but the shame and the regret will pass in light of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, in light of being able to serve Him in whatever way you have been allowed to. That's the first way, and I hope that it doesn't find you walking away from the judgment seat that way. The second way is you are saved, but you have regrets for what could have been. Oh, if I'd only lived for God the way Brother Scott and others, the way Sister Gail and others had encouraged us to just live for Jesus every day, grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. If I'd only, I could have, should have, would have had this and been that in the service of the great King of the ages, of the universe, of eternity. The second way is you're saved but having regrets for what could have been, yet thankful for some rewards. Some rewards. And the third way, of course, is the reason for this message, the blood and the cross and the judgment seat. If you pay attention to those, if you live up to those things, you will be the third person. You're saved. There's no shame. There's no regrets. You've received praise from the Lord Himself. That's in the Word, by the way. You've received praise from the Lord with rewards and a share of His very own glory. The guy at the other end gets no glory. But he's saved. Now I ask you, which of these three would you prefer for yourself? Dear ones, there is no time to waste. If at that meeting you wish to be found to the praise of His glory, there's no time for you to waste from this day on. I remind you, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. Consider yourself the builder. But let every man, that's you, take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. For now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be manifest for the day. What day do you think that's talking about? For the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, the fire of God's judgment. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now you all know what happens to wood and hay and stubble when fire hits it. Burns it up, nothing left but ashes. And they get blown away, there's nothing left. But what happens when gold and silver and precious stones get hit with fire? Nothing, they become pure. That's what we're to build our lives on and the kind of works we are to be involved in at the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. That's where that is. For those that somehow were saved into His presence by the skin of their spiritual teeth, the record of unforgiven sins and a pitiful and embarrassing carnal life will follow that believer right there to the judgment seat. The record will be there. Let me say that again. I chose these words very carefully. For those that somehow were saved into His presence by the skin of their spiritual teeth, the record of unforgiven sins and a pitiful and embarrassing carnal life will follow that believer to the judgment seat. It's all contained in God's books. Yes, He's got a book on you and He's got a book on me. The only thing that can affect those books, what's recorded there, is the blood and the cross. You don't want sins and carnality showing up at the judgment seat, or you'll be like the number one guy or the number two guy. God keeps good books. And they will be there at your appearance too. Oh, your name is in the book of the Lamb's book of life, or you wouldn't be there, but there are other books. Such things didn't have to be because of the availability of the blood of Jesus to be washed clean and the cross to be set free. If you stand before the judgment seat and you've got sin and carnality upon your life at that point, you see, any sin and every sin that you have sincerely asked to be forgiven of and washed of is G-O-N-E. That word, by the way, spells gone. I'm reminded of the old commercial years ago. How do you spell relief? R-O-L-A-I-D-S. For years, people thought that's how you spell relief. How do you spell relief?
Let me see. R-O-L-A-I-D-S.
That was an advertisement for antacids. Rolaids was like Tums today and other kinds of things. Let me say this again. You see, any sin and every sin that you have sincerely asked to be forgiven of and washed of is G-O-N-E, forever gone and never to be brought up before God. Praise God! That's if you live clean, dear ones. Though there may be sins from time to time, which are the exception and never the rule of your life. But for those believers that fail to stay clean and die into His presence, for a time they will face shame and great regret. For those that sinned and asked for cleansing but never would let the cross do its work, there will be rebuke and the forfeiture of certain rewards and honor. Coulda, shoulda, woulda. Because you wouldn't be a serious and devoted disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That involves picking up your cross daily and following Him. But for the humble believer, I pray that's you. For the humble believer that learned God's Word and His ways, he or she was humiliated enough by their sins that they cried out for the cross to do its perfect work. He or she was bit by bit, week after month after year, changed into His likeness to the great pleasure of God. Are they perfect? Perhaps not yet, but they're growing that way. For that devoted one, for that overcomer, look at Revelation 2 and 3 and see how many times Jesus said, for the overcomer, this is what they've got in store for them. Guess what? The opposite is true. For those that don't overcome, they don't get these things. For that devoted one, for that overcomer, that takes on the blood for forgiveness and lets the cross do its work, there will be praise and rewards and honor and a confession of his or her very name before the Father and His holy angels. And we haven't even begun to imagine how glorious those that have lived for Jesus, for how it will be. Eye has not heard or seen. My eyes don't hear. Eye has not seen, ears have not heard what's been prepared for them that love God. If you love God, you're going to be concerned with your sins. Get to the cross, be perfected while you can. 1 Peter 1, 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, hardships, trials, trouble. You learn very little when things are going great for you. Our country demonstrated that for the last 50 and 75 years. And Christians right along with it. But now, when things are going wrong and real hard, people are going to learn things that they should have known and practiced all along. Manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, the testing, the proving of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's how it can be for you, but it's up to you. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though you now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with unspeakable joy and full of glory. These are the same ones that are having the heaviness through manifold temptations. They're rejoicing in, with joy unspeakable and full of glory too. Receiving the end of your faith, the goal of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Beloved, just because you name the name of Jesus does not mean that you are automatically entitled to all the wonderful promises made to those that such blessings have been prepared for. That's what Christians think today because they've never been taught and they've never read the Word for themselves. Oh, man, everything that was promised in the thousand-year reign and into eternity, whoopee, they're for us. And they go out and have their parties and smoke their dope and mess around and do all kinds of things that God's Word, especially in the Old Testament, says we should not do if we are a holy people. Those promises are for those saints that stop sinning, get washed of it, be to the cross, and get transformed to become like Jesus. That's who the rewards and the honor and the authority and the praise and the glory are for. That's how we're going to tell in glory who lived for Jesus and who messed around with the relationship. It's one of the ways. It is true our salvation is a free gift and cannot be earned nor merited. But praise of God, on the other hand, but praise of God, honor and glory, and kingly authority in the coming kingdom are things that will be granted only to the ones that have been found worthy of such things. You remember when James and John's mother came to Jesus? She says, I want you to do for me whatever I ask. And Jesus said, well, what do you ask? I want you, when you come into your kingdom, put my one son on your left hand and your other son on your right hand when you sit in your throne. And Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. Those are places for those they have been prepared for. And the other 10 said, well, you sneaky scoundrels. Wait till we get you out on a fishing boat next time. Those that get the rewards and the honor and the authority are those that it's been prepared for. And those that it's been prepared for from the foundation of the world, by the way, are those that take their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ with utmost seriousness and live for Him daily. Stay clean by the blood. I'm declaring this to you now. This is the word of the Lord. Stay clean by the blood. Get free by the cross. Stay full of the Spirit. Matthew 25. And live for God today and every day from now forward, and you will change the outcome of your appointment with God. You keep messing around? If you are, I don't know your life. You know your life, and God knows your life. But if you're messing around, if you've got one foot in and one foot out, things are going to be very different for you on that day than they could have been. Stay clean by the blood, get free by the cross, stay full of the Spirit, and live for God today and every day from now forward, and you will change the outcome of your appointment with God. Let me close. Matthew 25. And then Revelation 22, if you're multi-fingered. One finger in Matthew 25, the other finger in Revelation 22, and unless the Holy Spirit quickens something else, we will be done. The blood, the cross, the judgment seat. I hope the gravity of what has been on my mind and heart today, and will continue to be, and as evidenced by the passion of this message, I hope that it will make a difference for you moving forward. And pray that it does. Matthew 25:19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants, these are the ones that got the 10 talents, one guy got 5, one got 2, and one got 1, according to their several ability, and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, these are the words that we want to hear. They're not going to be that common at the judgment seat of Christ. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Woohoo! Verse 22, he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he, which had received the 1 talent, came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. That means strewn, by the way. And I was afraid. Fear? I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Now, let me tell you something about this talent. Depending on what exactly it was, a talent is usually something that weighs about 75 pounds. Can you imagine digging a hole for something that weighs 75 pounds? It would have been easier to take it to the bank. He had to dig a big hole just to bury that which his master had given him. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast what is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, did he say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Absolutely, positively not. Now, I said that on purpose in case you're sitting there wondering. I am a college graduate, you know, by the way. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest, therefore, to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. That means interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone, this is a spiritual principle of the kingdom, for unto everyone that hath shall be given, or given more, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not, or hath not done anything what God has done with him or through him or given to him. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And by the way, verse 30, cast that unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I like to think of that as shame and regret for what could have been. Because these were all servants, by the way. All three were servants of the master. Talking about the servants of God here. And lastly, Revelation chapter 22, verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may, and we could, I could stick in the word also, because we've already got the blessings, we've already gotten rewards. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. Another great blessing for those that qualify here by the way they lived as a child of God. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. We see in Revelation several times where those that have crowns throw them down before the feet of Jesus and worship him. Dear ones, that's all you can take to heaven is what you have had already in store for you there. If you live for Jesus, you get free of your sin, you'll have something waiting for you that you can, in true and genuine worship, something that you've been given by God, you too will have a crown that in worship of the Lord Jesus you can place at His feet. It's all you can have to give. It's all you'll have to give. And it will be most precious to you if you've been given one. It will be most precious to you to take that which is the most precious to you, that represents what you've done and been on the earth thanks to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. It's what it represents, what you've done here upon the earth. It's a crown. You can put it at His feet in worship. Even now I pity those brothers and sisters that will be there in glory and will have no crown. They'll have no crown to cast at His feet in worship. Oh, they'll bow and they'll praise and they'll worship. But that'll remind them, I have no crown because of the way I lived or didn't live for Jesus. The blood and the cross and the judgment seat. How you fare on that day has a lot to do with those things. If you'll join me standing, we'll dismiss. Dear Father, great and mighty God, Elohim, we honor You today. Lord, we bless You and we praise You. One of the words in the Old Testament that means praise means to kiss with the mouth. It also is a word in the New Testament, worship, that as we discussed earlier, is like the licking of a hand by a loving dog to its master. Lord, help us this week to kiss You with our mouth. Those are the praises of our heart coming through our vocal cords and across the tongue, over the teeth and out the lips of these Your redeemed. Let us bless You. Let us kiss You with our words in the way that we live our week and respond to You, I pray. Lord, let the blood do its great work. Let my brother and sister quickly and just quickly deal with their sin and then just as quickly go and ask for forgiveness and washing of the blood and the work of the cross, Lord. And they will one day, and it doesn't take long for the old man to die. He's been dead a long time until, and it's easy to do by the cross here in this time. Lord, let him die that we might be set free from sins, that our day at the judgment seat will be one of great, great glory and glee. Oh, as we meet You and review our life and are able to answer with great positivity, what did You do with the life I gave You? Oh, Lord, please look. Look, Lord, is what we want to be able to say. Not turn away in shame as we review some of the things that we just let happen and let go on. Lord, let us live each day victoriously because of the blood and the cross, I pray. Lord, for this week coming, would You bless it, I ask, in advance in Jesus' name. Give us health and strength. Lord, give us wisdom and discernment in these dark days that we're living in and getting worse, Lord. Help us to reach out, Lord. As Brother Noel said last week, we need to reach in and out and up. Lord, to reach out, I pray, to live for Jesus every day. In the magnificent name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.